This is the Pitch Fishing Academy Cricket Show number 192. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Fishing Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchfishing.com. You can call us on
020-8816-7691.
And you can email us on
coach@pitchvision.com.
My name's David Hinchliffe, and this week I'm joined by Mark Garraway and Berners. Welcome to the show, Garras. Welcome to the show, Berners. And we can hear applause in the background for the start of the podcast.
Quite right, sir. We've just taken a wicket, lads. It's quite a tense game going on here.
Well done.
The Sharjah Cricket Academy are 91 for 7.
Oh, it's live updates.
Chasing 120. It's a rip snorter of a wicket, and as you can gather from the scores, and a big burly right hander has just stepped into the wicket to face up to Millfield's leg spinning genius.
So it's all going well on the tour at the moment, Garris.
Yeah, we're having fun, and it's sunnier than where you are, lads.
Yeah, you're probably about 25 degrees warmer, aren't you?
Just a little bit, yeah. It's not west. Nice breeze, actually, just making sure that we don't get too hot, so that's good.
Harris, you're not supposed to laugh when you say that.
I'm sorry, I can't help myself.
But if you can't relish in that, in the warmth. I was so cold last night, I felt like someone was stabbing me with icicles in my lungs.
Yeah, it wasn't a similar experience here, mate, to be honest. I got a bit of sand in my eye when we were in some jeeps going across the desert, but yeah, I didn't get too many icicles in my lungs last night, that is for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And Berners, how are you? What's the news from Pitch Vision Towers?
It's all good. It's minus -3. Just setting up our friends down under. Craig McDermott's just launching his pace bowling clinics, so he's got his first system and they're going live, so I'm busy with those guys, and we've got some other stuff going on in India, which is all hush-hush, but it's going to explode in 2013.
Yes, yeah, some a great discussion around that as well, wasn't there, this week, regarding fast bowling and actions and preventing injury, and a lot of buzzwords bouncing around, different coaches having different ideas, and it's good to see that kind of sharing of concepts and all revolving around Pitch Vision.
Yeah, so he had an article, I think, in the Herald Sun over in Sydney.
That's right.
Which just mentioned what he was doing. And then there was a topic that was brought up about injury prevention and everyone jumped on the bandwagon. It was on LinkedIn, I think, with the coaches forum on there. So if you get a chance, have a little look at that. It's World Coaches Group? World Cricket Coaching Group.
Yeah, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. There's some what you might call traditional views about, you know, side on positions of fast bowlers, and some physiotherapists chipping in. So it's an interesting discussion. And Gareth, speaking of discussions, you did an article this week about bowling boots and tram and how it affects the pace of fast bowlers.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, now, for those who haven't read it, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, but for those who haven't read it yet, what was the point of your article?
The point of the article was that if you talk to the great fast bowlers, they talk about what they put on their feet and how they look after their feet, because that's the thing that is the most important to them. So they slam their feet into the ground, and the better that they absorb the force of the ground and then can transfer it into the up through the kinetic chain into the ball, the more effective they'll be as bowlers, and the more they're likely to protect themselves from injury.
And we were talking about these four concepts of time, range, area, and mass, which blew my mind as someone who had to have two goes at getting GCSE maths.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same boat as you, mate, in terms of my maths, but I just know some very, very clever people and who've managed to interpret that information for me.
And so the time is the amount of time that the front foot is on the ground, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we're looking for, ideally, is a heel to the heel of the foot to land first, and then you to get across the whole range of your front foot, and that increases the time but also increases the area that makes contact with the ground, and also increases the range that you have going across the ground as well, so the forces can be absorbed across the foot rather than just off of the toe. So you will often see fast bowlers that land on their toe, their front knee will bend as a result of not being able to withstand the forces that come up through the ground.
Of course, a lot of bowlers will just buy a pair of boots off the shelf and that'll do them. But I know from doing the Andy Caddick online coaching course that he was a big fan of getting your boots custom made if you're any kind of serious bowler to fit your feet and to get exactly what you need.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've done some really interesting stuff around, you know, some of the 1,000 frames per second video cameras where you get people to run and you just focus on their feet as they're running. Mm. And, you know, some of these off-the-shelf trainers, there's a hell of a lot of movement that goes on. And actually, anybody who watched that bit of video of somebody's foot in an inappropriately fitted shoe going through, you know, ultimately three times their body weight when they're running in a straight line. That's all it is, three times their body weight. And the movement that's going on in the shoe is quite horrific. And everybody that I show it to winces. Now, if you times that by three, because we're about 8 to 10 times our body weight going through our skeleton at that time where we release the ball, you know, you can imagine what the feet are doing at that point. So yeah, it's a really interesting topic. And as I say, if you're talking to your McGraths or your Jeff Lawsons or your Andy Caddicks, they swear by having the right stuff on their feet because they can get all of their pace going into the ball and not get injured.
And it's an area that hasn't had a lot of research traditionally, isn't it? I think you know, you don't see a lot of you don't see a lot of people talking about it, certainly.
No, it isn't. And you know, it's often through lucky conversation that I can get alongside some of these guys. But then you put the biomechanist there and the podiatrist there and they all are massively in agreement. And I think we'll get to a stage where even the likes of your Adidas's and your Nikes will start to think about it, how they design their shoes. But ultimately, they're about unit costs, aren't they? You know, and getting as many units out as possible. Whereas some of these specific bowling boots, it's all about the quality, and obviously for the quality you've got to pay through the nose. But certainly when you talk to those guys, that they would be big fans of it. And if you are going to go off the shelf and buy a pair of Nike bowling boots, then just make sure they fit properly. That's the best bit of advice that I can do it. So if you're buying off the internet, you know, you're on dodgy ground, really. Get to a shop.
When I was in Australia, the guys used to get basketball boots and they used to get them resold.
Yeah, I mean, there's an element of that working, because basketball boots have got more stability in the ankle cup. I put in there last week about the high ankles being good, and when I went back to a biomechanist, he said, you know, there is something in that, but also there's an element of mobility in your ankle that needs to happen, which helps to increase the absorption of that ground impact. And he's ultimately come down to its personal preference, because some people like to bowl with high ankle boots and other people like to bowl with, you know, normal boots that have got a real heel protector around the edge and have got a really good thick sole that will absorb some of that impact as you go up through from the ground up through the bowl.
And I was going to mention ankle mobility, because one of the things that that has been found is that there is a link between, we don't know exactly what it is, but there is a link between the mobility of your ankles and your the amount of injury that you could get, or your potential for injury, I should say. Which is why a lot of basketball players end up with a lot of injuries, because they're all strapped up very, very tightly and they don't have a lot of ankle mobility. So there is a bit of a conflict there. If you're wearing a boot which is strapping you into place, then you are going to be losing ankle mobility if you're not careful, and you've got to be making sure that you're mobilizing your ankles as part of your warm up as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I'd be careful saying that, because the evidence on that isn't 100% conclusive in relation to fast bowling. You know, and when it is, great, we can stick our neck on the block there. But what we do know about fast bowling is if you have a good pair of shoes that absorbs the forces, then it means that you're more likely to bowl over a brace front leg, which means that your momentum can go up into your hip. Then your hips can turn, the momentum goes through your trunk into your shoulders stabilize, and the momentum goes into your arms and ultimately into the ball, and that's how people bowl quick. And you've only got to watch the likes of, you know, Shoaib Akhtar at his very best, Waqar Yunus at his very best, Alan Donald and Dennis Lilly and many, many others, the real Express guys, to note that that is something that is very common between all of those guys. So, yeah, the better stuff on your feet, the more you absorb the forces.
Certainly something to think about and something for people to go away and experiment with and see what they can find and see what kind of difference it makes. But let's move on now to the yes-no round. And this is the section of the show where every week Gareth and I answer the three questions that Berners poses to us. And we answer yes or no to those three questions. We can't say anything else. And you also get your chance to contribute to that if you go to pitchvision.com/academy every week. The questions are up on the sidebar for you to answer yes or no to as well. So, Berners, when you're ready, fire away.
First question. It's time for Tendulkar to retire.
No.
No.
Panel result, 58% yes. Second question, cricket is a sideways game.
No.
No.
Panel result, 65% yes. Third question, hard work is talent, talent is hard work.
Yes.
Yes.
Panel result, 57% yes.
We are going to delve into the mailbag now and find out what questions Berners has rummaged up for us this week. And every week, the best question of the week wins a prize, which is an online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can find out more by heading over to the website. But Berners, you've got two people keen to have their questions answered. So who's the first question this week?
First question is from Sangeeta. And his question revolves around vision. He's just saying that nowadays a lot of the teams at the higher level of the game, county teams and international teams, seem to do a lot of training using a blend of modern technology and also some proven methods around vision, and wanted to know how this can be scaled down to club cricketers, and how they can become better batsmen or fielder, and how this can become a bigger part of their game.
Well, I can only speak from personal experience. I don't know what the research is here, but certainly at lower levels, I think that because you're so limited with the amount of time that you get with players, that doing the fancy vision stuff is one of those things that you probably aren't going to get time to do if you're not 100% sure that you're going to get great results from it. So I've always avoided doing anything like that. And you see, there's all kinds of bits of kit you can buy, isn't there? And you know, things you can do to improve focus and vision and all that kind of thing. But I think a lot of the time, if you spend time doing that, you're not spending time working on more cricket-specific vision skills, like, you know, seeing the ball from the bowler's hand and things like that. So, Gareth, I'm interested in your view on this from a bit more of a experience at higher levels. What do you where do you see the role of specific vision training in cricket, especially at a lower level?
Yeah, I'm with you actually, mate, massively on that one. In that, I think there are other things that club cricketers can turn their minds to in order to get a bigger percentage gain from a result or from a performance. So yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, going back to an article I wrote very recently, was about the was about what you should watch, whether you need to watch the ball or whether you know, intently and really focus in on the ball, or whether you need to watch the bowlers run in and pick up the cues from the bowler and then allow the ball to come into your vision rather than staring intently at it. And I'd reflect back on that. And to me, the biggest thing that a club cricketer can do is to learn which one of those two works for them the best. And if they then start to concentrate on that more often than not when they're practicing, they will notice a performance hike without any shadow of a doubt. So, you know, if you can put a link in that takes people back to that article, I know we got quite an interesting response from that, which you'd expect from an article, but for many it would have been the first that they'd have heard it. Yeah, for me, you find out which one works for you and really test it over and over again, and you'll see the difference.
Yeah,
it doesn't cost anything either, which is a great thing about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, I think it's quite seductive, isn't it? Because Having better vision, it's one of those things like saying, you know, having better balance or having better timing. It's seductive to think that if I do the drill A, B, and C, I'll have better vision and therefore I'll be able to, you know, get middle the ball more often or get, you know, get, take more catches or things like that. But I think it's a game where if you get drawn into it, because you've always got a limited amount of time, even the professionals have got a limited amount of time, you can end up going down a rabbit hole which leaves you at a dead end, and you're not quite sure why you spent so much time doing something where you can't quite measure how much improvement to the results that you've had.
Yeah, so, I agree.
So, I mean, say something like fitness training, which is another thing where it's kind of unrelated from cricket. But, you know, we know through research that there is a direct crossover from things that you do in the gym or running and things like that into your cricket performance. There is going to be a crossover there. How much you can debate, but there is going to be a crossover there. But I don't think we know that as much for vision.
I've never seen it in any form of the game, actually. I don't even know what vision training is, and I don't know what tools people would use.
Yeah, I see it around. There's an old book, which is you can still get hold of, and it's still got a lot of quality information, called SAQ Cricket by Alan Pearson. And he has a section on vision training there. And there's equipment you can buy, and he does stuff where you know you're moving your thumb into your peripheral vision and you see how far around you can sit and things like that. But yeah, I've never seen the benefit of actually going out and buying equipment. I'd rather buy, you know, a catch it in a skyer. Yeah.
My vision is pitch vision. That's the only vision I have.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good line.
What's the next question, Bernice?
Next question is from James. He's recently been working on his batting and he's discovered that he's very flat-footed and he struggles to move his feet. So he's saying that he has a tendency to always push onto the front foot, which means that when the ball is back of a length and up round his ear rolls, I take it, that he struggles to deal with it. So it's popping back the bowler, a very frustrating way to get out or create opportunities when you're batting. And he's trying to develop a trigger movement to get him on his toes and obviously get him bouncing around the crease a little bit more. But he feels this is a bit manufactured now and wants to know what we recommend in terms of getting him moving around the crease a little bit more.
Without seeing him move, I couldn't recommend anything. I can give you some parameters. The people that generally have a very natural wide stance would be better doing any trigger movement early, and going early so they're in a still position at ball release. And people that would have a narrower stance need to, or one type of them need to get a bit more rhythm and therefore will be on the move. Somebody like a Ricky Ponting would be somebody who's played in that fashion, and their trigger movement could be later. And if you're somebody who's got a wide stance, you generally need to sit into your heels because you push off rather than leaning into the ball in conventional coaching way. And if you've got a narrower stance, you need to get your weight more onto your toes and onto your heels, and because that's the best way for you to get to the ball. So without seeing somebody play, I can't really give you anything, to be honest with you. But if you have got a wide stance, then go early. Go early and set yourself and make yourself still, just like somebody generally does in the field.
Or don't go at all. I mean, it depends on the level that you're playing, but
stand still.
If what's happening at the moment, it sounds like, is that your trigger isn't really a trigger. It's just that you're getting all your weight onto your front foot as a, you know, as a premeditated movement, James. So it might be that you just need to learn how to stand still rather than think about any trigger movement. I mean, I know that's an old piece of coaching advice, but it's still valid for a lot of people. Standing still, keeping your eyes level and watching where the ball is, whether that's through whichever type of, whether that's peripheral vision or focusing very hard on the ball, as we mentioned earlier, that's up to you. But yeah, it's more of a case of stopping that moving onto the front foot as a premeditated movement, because as soon as you get your weight on your front foot, you're locked in, you're stuffed, and you're going to be in all kinds of trouble if the ball moves. What about getting the other question I was going to ask about that is that he pops the ball up to the bowler. Is that what do you think about that, Grizz? Is that he's not getting his weight forward enough? He's hanging back.
Yeah,
a bit,
again, it's really really difficult. I mean, that's a stereotypical way. Yeah, we're having the guess, aren't we? And that's why this type of question is always really difficult to answer. You know, ultimately, it's probably down to his contact area being a little bit too much in front of him. You know, and letting that ball come onto himself and letting that ball come under his eyes and hitting it in that fashion will give him more control over the ball rather than popping it back to the bowler. So out of the three types of player that I work with, three of them are the ones that need to let the ball come all the way under their eyes and then they can control it. So he's probably going to fall into that bracket.
So the classic advice again of saying just wait a little bit longer. That could apply to him as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anybody who's popping the ball up, that's likely to be one of the causes. It might not be the root cause, but it's something that can be controlled by just waiting. You know, playing. I remember mentioning a drill in one of the articles right at the outset, which was trying to hit the ball into the ground before it hits the net. So you're playing bump ball effectively, and it's something that Sachin Tendulkar practices in his pre-match warm up, and you know, it's a pretty good thing for him to do. So I should imagine it could be a good thing for most players.
I think that was a nice point you made about creating a platform, though, because if he's not still and stuff, sometimes just stuff like that is actually picking the length of the ball up early enough. If he's figuring out that it's a short ball when it's in front of his eyes, that's obviously no good either. Maybe worrying a little bit too much about where his feet should be and not actually engaging his mind into let's think about the length. Quick, quick, quick. Yep, that's short. Bang, and then your body's gonna and your mind's gonna self-adjust once you know that's short. I guess that's my feelings on the matter.
Yeah, I think they're valid points, mate. Definitely.
Yeah. It sounds like you're saying it's important to think about it, but it's important not to overthink about it because you're worrying about where your foot is and your head is and everything else.
To survive in that scenario, you need to have known where the ball landed as quickly as possible. And if your mind's still somewhere else thinking, I didn't do my trigger movement, I'm flat-footed, it's just hit me on the head, then you've probably need to scale it back.
Yeah, work on what you're doing, but once you've done that work, then trust yourself that you're going to get it right, and then just focus on the ball.
Yeah,
that's a solid piece of advice, Bernice. Excellent. No jokes. Just solid advice.
Solid advice. That's exactly what it says on the tin. I'm like Ron Seal.
Now we're going to head over to Speaker's Corner, and climbing up on the soapbox this week is Gareth. He has 1 minute to talk about anything he likes. Over to you, Gareth, for this week's soapbox.
Yeah, this week I'm going to talk about developing young players, and I'm out here playing, watching some cricket at the moment, and as a school and as a group of young 14, 15 year old players, they're making some great stuff and they're making some errors. And what I hear a lot from coaches, not necessarily over here, but in other parts of the country, is guys criticising the players for making mistakes. And the bottom line is that it's our job as coaches to make sure that the kids are learning some of the basics of a game, because ultimately, when you get them to 17, 18, you want to teach them some of the funkiest stuff and not have to worry about backing up or field placings or whatever the case may be. I think we need to challenge ourselves as coach just to make sure that the messages that we're giving are being learnt. And by that I mean, are we putting them across in a way that kids can learn from? Are we using video? Are we using things that they can relate to in their lives to make that learning something that's easy to connect to, rather than becoming a sort of funky thing and getting very clunky in the way that they put it out on the pitch?
That's the end of the show for this week, but before we go, we have some housekeeping to sort out, as we always do at this point in the show. The first thing is the competition winner, and we had Sangeeta's question about vision and James's question about trigger moves and footwork. So, Gareth, which one did you prefer this week?
I'm going to go with James's one this week. And although we couldn't see what, you know, to help him specifically, I think we discussed a number of options that could be available to somebody, given the right stance, and also keeping still being a key point for a lot. And the last thing being hitting the ball late being the key point for a lot of the players that play in the world. So I think James is the winner this week.
Congratulations, James. And James, you win a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And if someone wanted to send in their question and have the chance to win a prize, how would they do that, Bernice?
Drop us an email. The email address is coach@pitchvision.com, or they can give us a call, and it's 020-88-167-691.
You can also get us on Twitter at PV Cricket Coach, and you can subscribe to the show in iTunes. If you head over there and do a search for Pitch Vision Academy, you can find us and subscribe there. If you don't want to use iTunes, you can also subscribe if you just head over to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link. Now, a couple of other little things. We'll have our tail ender in a moment. And before we do that, I just want to mention that next week is the last show before the Christmas break for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. We'll have a couple of weeks off to recharge the Christmas batteries, and then we'll be back in the new year. So get ready for that. And what I would like people to do for that is to send in their one tip that they want to give for 2013 to people. So if you have a tip that you want to send it to us, then you can call us, please, on our 24-hour answer phone and leave a message with your name and your tip and any Christmas wishes that you want to give out. If you can make the whole thing less than a minute, we'll be grateful for that. And what was that number again, Berners?
020-88-167-691.
And we'll have some special guests giving their tips for 2013 as well. Tail ender this week, I do have one in the bag, but I think I'll save that for next week. Because I was thinking there's a lot of words out there for stumps. And I was trying to collate them all on Twitter during the week. Of course, wicket, if you ask any umpire, if you call the stumps the wicket, he gets very upset. Because the wicket is what you play on, isn't it? So that's how to upset an umpire. What do you call stumps, Berners?
Stumps. Poles. Poles.
Sticks.
Australia. Sticks. Oh, I'm going to knock your poles out, mate. Yeah, you probably are.
And Mike Selvey, who former player and well-known journalist, also came up with steeples on the hay, which is a new one that he used to say. Have you ever heard of that one, Berners?
Nope.
Yeah, that's an unusual one. So we got a few. We got five or six there, but I thought there'd be more. I thought there'd be an unending list of names for stumps. I guess if you're a batsman, you don't want to think about it too much, do you, Berners?
No, mate. You just want to defend them like your life and hit long balls in the bush.
So on that thought, until next week, we'll see you next time. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Berners.
Cheers, Coach.